Hello, hello. Welcome to the Marketing Meetup Podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I am very, very grateful for your time and attention today. So today we're hearing from James Gill, more affectionately known, however, as just Gill. Now, Gill's from Further, which are a marketing agency down in Norwich. And in this talk, Gill did a study of different articles related to predictions for various years, specifically focused on 2009, 2014, and 2019. In this, he sort of looked across these different trends and tried to find different themes, and it's amazing how many of the themes that came out have been predicted for all the different years. I really hope you enjoy this talk. It's a very interactive one, so what I'd encourage you to do is sort of keep it on in the background for the first couple of bits, and then towards the last bit of the talk, he actually has some really interesting insights that have come out as a result of his research. Finally, you'll notice that we are about 100 years behind where we want to be in terms of content production for the podcast. For that reason, I have been so fortunate to be working alongside the lovely Barry Richardson from Bravo Marketing, who will be producing the podcast episodes from now on. Even if the audio quality of the talk itself is down to me, not him, I promise. So I just want to give a big shout out to Bravo Marketing. They're an awesome creative agency based up near Cambridge, I think. They're nearby the Cambridge region anyway. And they've just been absolutely phenomenal. Barry is just a top quality bloke. He produces brilliant work. So if you want to find out more, just head to bravomarketing.co.uk. With that, I'll leave you to enjoy the podcast episode and I'll see you soon.
Spoiler, thank you. Cheers, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Just quickly, most of the time when I'm talking about something, I'm 100% focused on the thing you're talking about. But when you're in a room full of people, which you don't do very often, that percentage starts to wane and you end up maybe with 30% of your brain power going, oh God! And the other 70% concentrating on what you're doing. So I've got a couple of notes, because otherwise I'll do the 20 minutes in about 3.5 minutes, skipping over all the important stuff. So forgive me for a couple of notes, but it's worth it. So this presentation comes from an article that I thought of writing and did write in January. I was sort of checking out the content marketing and marketing trends for the year, for the year coming in 2019. And I started to notice there were lots of things that I thought, I've seen this before. This recommendation, this business critical must-do thing for 2019 in content marketing, or your business will die, I've seen this before. And it may not have been last year, it may have been the year before, or maybe I just invented it. But I wanted to check this out. So what I did is I did a study of marketing trends lists. I got a load from this year, I got a load from 5 years ago. Actually, I'm a slide ahead of myself, you see, I'm already off piece with that 30% panicking. I was looking at the marketing trends for 2019, and so I started to lose confidence in the lists, because you want someone to go, just trust me, do these three things and you'll be totally fine, trust me, and you're like, fantastic, I hate doubt, that's brilliant. So I'm looking at all of these. So I did a study of digital marketing trends from 2009. So I looked at as many articles as I could find from 2009 that were predicting what you should all be doing in marketing, content marketing, digital marketing for 2010. I did the same in 2014, for 2015, and 2018 for 2019. So like nearly a 10-year period. I looked at as many that I could find and picked out all the commonality that came back, all the things that were like, across lots of those things in the year. The numbers aren't huge. Obviously, in 2009, I could find maybe like half a dozen. Definitely you should do this content marketing thing in 2010. They're obviously more and more year on year. So they're not great. They're not huge numbers, but you'll see the pattern in them. So to make my findings a little more fun than they were, I've turned it into a quiz. So I'm going to say a marketing activity, and you've got to guess, and I'll pick on someone, to guess the year or years that it was a prediction in. For example, I'll say chatbots. Interesting. That's right, it's the Matrix there, it's the glitch. So I'm going to say chatbots and pick on someone to pick what year you thought that chatbots was the, oh my, if you don't do this,
2014.
The answer is 2019. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It could mean that all of my data is wrong. So you're guessing the year, which year or years the activity was billed by marketing professionals as being a big trend for the year. So, part one. SEO. In what year, sir, or years, did a number of the articles that I found, where was it a trend, in which year or years?
Phone a friend.
You can text a friend.
Joe, which year? All three.
All three.
Am
I too far away there? Close, but interesting. I just found that so interesting that in 2009, people like, got to get keywords on that website. And then everyone's like, oh, we've done it. Got keywords on the website. Don't care. SE, what? Oh, no, guys, it's back. So that was interesting. So distribution and promotion. Gentlemen there. What years? Or year?
I'll go 2014.
2014. 2014 and 2019. I just again found that interesting that it suggests to me that the people weren't doing it. It hadn't become doctrine at this stage. People in 2014 said, guys, next year, don't just create content. You've got to tell everyone about it. You've got to boost posts and promote it and do influencer outreach and all sorts. But they didn't pay any attention. And so we've got to say it again this year in the lists as a trend. Mobile. In what year, Madam Selena? In what year or years do you think?
14 and 19.
14 and 19. Oh. Nearly, it was 2009, it was very early. It was interesting actually, I thought this, my paddle, it's slightly blitzed. It was interesting in 2009. I thought it was quite early, but then I'm a very late adopter of technology. So I probably still had my Nokia 2210 in 2009, whilst all the London bloggers are going, got to be on mobile, got to be mobile optimized website, e-commerce, and not ready for that. So 2014. But again, it seems that it has become doctrine that no one's sort of saying, definitely need to do mobile. It's like it's become a given, it seems. So that's my read of that. Wow, this is...
It's interesting.
Isn't it? All three.
So this is apps. Madam there, what year do you think apps were the I'm standing here because I've just realised all the answers are on the screen of the next thing there.
2019,
so you think this is the only year, this is the year.
And
2014.
And 2009.
So 2009, I don't know if anyone else felt like this. I felt like around that time, surrounded by people like, whatever you did, whatever you were pushing, whatever your content channels or whatever, an app. Got to have an app, mainly because we make apps, but you have to have an app. Yeah. Would you like an app? And then everyone went, it kind of, by this time, it seems like we figured out that actually it was evident whether you needed an app or not. It was something functional that had to be an app to do the thing that it does, rather than just a website in a holding page that you download. That's gone nice and quiet. Paid social media. Gentleman with the scarf. In what year or years?
Paid social media, probably 2009 and 2014.
9 and 14. Shall I go back and try again? I feel like Barrymore when Strike It Lucky used to go wrong, like all the screens.
That is the only time.
The answer is 2014. 2014 was the only year in which people were, as a pattern, predicting that paid social media, which I think is bananas, because for me, it's the thing that I in my sleep that just repeats, that organic social is dead, it's utterly pointless, you need to boost. So fingers crossed for the next slide. I'll put it into the gaps in between. Yes. Thank you, Joe.
We'll see, hopefully.
Measurement and ROI. Sir, at the back.
I'm a sir. I'd say 14 and 19.
14 and 19. Our survey said 14 and 19. Interesting. Again, it says to me that they'd figured out at this point, it's like, make stuff. And at this point, the businesses all went, thanks for the app. ROI, anyone? Bueller, no? And still a challenge for us. I think probably most people in the room finding it a challenge. Next one, voice search. Yeah, sorry. Heather?
2009 and 2014.
I'll ask Alexa. Only this year is voice search in the predictions. I'd be particularly interested to see if in 5 years we're all standing here going, well, yeah, those are the days. Influencer marketing. In which year or years was this touted as the must-do business critical thing? Gentleman with a handsome beard. 2014. Every single year. Which I thought that was interesting. The person writing it in this year, or the person writing it in this year thinking, I told you once. So that was interesting. Personalization. I feel like I've said this word more times than I need in 1 year already. But how many, which year do you think this was touted? Madam whose badge I can't see.
2014.
Only a really recent one, it seems, in terms of the trend, but everyone, I think certainly you can see the growth in the last few years of people starting to talk about personalization, and it seems to sort of critical mass this year. Everything's got to be about one individual. Quickly, make everything about one individual, which is interesting as AI sort of lags slightly behind and doing things at scale. Personalization at scale still seems to be a bit of a challenge. Video. Video. Sir. Indeed.
I think 2009 is in there. I'll stick with just 2009.
Just 2009. Every year. It's interesting that every year, again, I think, I'll get back to my summary. I'll stop feeding my summary into the bit as we go. So that was part one. Make sure I've just covered all of the notes. So I've got a second part of the quiz as well, just to sort of keep it interesting, a little more interesting. In which year, so I've pulled some quotes from the articles that I've got over the last 10 years, and I'll ask someone in the room what year they think the quote was said. Quality still matters more than quantity, but there has been a steady upward trajectory to blog post length over the past few years, and this will continue.
2001.
Higher, lower, higher.
It's a buzzer round.
What were the guesses?
15.
The 14-15 one, yeah? Okay. That's this year. It was really interesting to see that long form is being touted and is sort of a bit of a trend again. Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. It seems that this is also fed into by on-page schema, and that people are happy to have whacking great big long articles, and they will happily skim if you make it, if you know, got good UX and titling and so on. Sorry, Joe, it's rubbish. It's not like your grandparents. Advertisements will become less blatant as marketers begin to favour ads integrated with content. Imagine it! Imagine that! What year? Any guesses?
2014.
The 14 again. Is the right answer. Good guess. The next hot topic is artificial intelligence. There is good reason to expect it to make a major impact on content marketing. No, it's one of the 3 years of the... 19. See, getting good. Remarketing, invaluable for representing yourself to people who may have shown an interest in your products or put thing in a cart but not purchased. Maybe they put the word some in their cart and didn't check out. In what year was remarketing the hot new thing? 14? You guys are better at this round. Next one, podcasts. Online radio is actually on a bit of a growth trend. This will be a year of exploration for online broadcasters as they struggle to find and attract loyal audiences. 2009. Ooh! Okay. Here's what you could have won. Social media sites have made it clear that we don't own our audience on their platforms. We can only rent access to them at rates that are getting steeper. That's why it's crucial to bring your audience to your own land. 14? Anyone think it's any different?
19.
14. I have to say, though, that was ahead of the game, that statement. I think the idea of owning your own audience and getting people to subscribe, and I think particularly after the social media algorithms change and your 100,000 Facebook followers suddenly became utterly useless to you. So how did you do? Most people get most of them wrong. I've run this little trial first, so most people get most of them wrong. You did very well on the quotes. Where are we now? It tells us that the predictions lists aren't accurate. They don't represent your experiences as marketing professionals, and therefore how useful are they for that? So maybe some of it's true for some brands and professionals, but one size doesn't fit all. Brands vary, audiences vary, appetites vary, appetite for content varies, and therefore the opportunities vary. Because ultimately that's what we're looking for, right? You're all looking at these lists to find out what the opportunity is. Oh, yes, I can go to them and offer them a podcast if it's 2009, etc. Prediction lists need to be interpreted by marketers to exploit the opportunities and not just create an app because it was the hot thing in 2009. So that might sort of seem self-evident. I looked at the data a different way, and I plotted them over time to see which ones recurred and which ones didn't. And the fact that some things take 10 years to become standard means that you may not feel that you need to rush at the latest thing. So when they were saying video in 2009, got to be on video, got to do it. It's like, yeah, they were right, but it still took a long time to emerge. It seems, because people still felt the need in 2019 to say, I don't know if you've heard, got to do video now. So the things that are new are voice, AI, and personalization. I thought I was in the middle, sorry. And then what are the perennials? What are the things that for 10 years have been in lists about things you should definitely do next year? Video and influencer marketing. Does that run contrary? Does anyone think, I totally disagree, that these are perennials? Because there's a bit of a fad, right? The apps, it seems, is a bit of a fad, was a sort of a say it, do it, oh no, forget about it. So what does this show us? The meta trend, I did this whole thing just so I could say the word meta. The meta trend is that predictions and trends can behave in any way possible. So anything you look at on a trend list or prediction can go either way. So ultimately, you've got to put that into your brain whilst looking at the things that you are or are not going to recommend to people. They might emerge, they might not emerge, they might fade and re-emerge, or they may just fade. The so what is that we shouldn't ignore old favourites and standards. I think, again, this just goes to the whole point about depends on what's right for you and for your clients or your business, is that actually your audience may not be the right moment for mobile. You know, if you look at demographics and demographic adoption of mobile, took various demographics a different amount of time. So it's just, because again, it's the deferred responsibility. It's lovely to see a list of 10 things you just must definitely do, so that if it all goes wrong in that year, you can go, well, I checked the wrong list, and it's not my fault that I did an app in 2011. So yeah, old favourite standards and the non-exciting may still have power. For example, SEO and podcasts. So this hasn't just been a 20-minute quiz that tells you to ignore everything, fun as that would have been. I have some useful key findings from the data combined with my own experience working at Further as head of content marketing there. And we're a digital marketing agency, for those who didn't know. I'm doing the preamble in the middle at the end. So these are my 2019 predictions. And I'll see in 5 years to see if I'm right. This is from all of the looking at all of the articles that I looked at over the last 10 years. The best value will come from video and influencer marketing. Bit of an easy one. It was the thing that ran right through the 10 years. Owning your own audience. This seems common sense. Anyone who's had a following on social media and found the algorithms changed, or found that the data is less useful to you than that you can get from within your newsletter, where you can richer data, they convert at a higher rate. So generally you want control. You want to be closer to your audience and you want that control. Also, you don't have to pay to rent your own audience. You've been producing content for 10 years and you've built up all those people on Facebook, and now Facebook are like, nah, got to pay to see your own people. Bastards. Distribution and promotion of content. Again, it's interesting. So many people forget the marketing bit of content marketing, and particularly those of us who come from media and from journalism, where the main aim of the game was just to create something cool and stick it in print. You didn't have to tell anyone; someone else would deal with that. Then you arrive in content marketing, like, oh, I made this lovely look, scrolling parallax thing. Just tuck it in there; no one will ever see that, especially if I put it on social media organically. So you have to promote. You have to pay. And it's worth paying. I've got another fascinating presentation on organic returns versus paid returns. It's bananas. And actually, it's on the website. If anyone really is interested in looking at paid and the stats, it's on our website, the little case study I did. This is the other thing as well. Getting your SEO and content marketing teams to work closely at the earliest stages of whatever you're producing is really, really important. SEO and content marketing are the sort of yin and yang, if you like, that as a content marketer, I need our SEO team to tell us what the insights are, what the opportunities are, specifically with on-page product content, but also what the audience needs and behaviours are around that product. And SEO need me because those recommendations in a vacuum aren't worth much. They can't do much. They need the content and its promotion to actually deliver on that. So that's going to be... It was covered in depth in a few of the bits that I read, but not explicitly. But that's definitely one of my predictions for this year. Measurement and ROI is going to remain a challenge and a priority. The fact that there are so many blogs that are different talking about ROI from content marketing. It's just that no one has an answer to it. I don't know if there'll ever be one, but you know, in-house marketing directors will still keep saying, "Got the ROI to those tweets." No? Oh, well. Personalization, chatbots, and artificial intelligence, they're going to take time to become standard. I think some people like Amazon or other big players will have their AIs up and running, but it'll take a while for the technology to filter down in terms of price, but also in terms of what you, if you're a small Norfolk-based e-commerce or depending on who your audience are, it'll take a while before we can get like off-the-shelf things for our websites. And only make an app if what you're creating has to be an app. Still, I think, probably the best piece of advice. And so the final slide is Joe asked everyone speaking to do this final slide. So here's my checklist. Why this presentation? Delivering it directly to you here, Joe. Don't waste your time chasing rainbows. The marketing picture. This is the bigger marketing picture. Everything that we've looked at today is the whole sort of gamut of marketing, digital marketing, content marketing, by looking at these predictions lists. The money, what's the money aspect? Reduce waste. Focus on evergreen activities with a longer lifetime value. Experts? and resources, this is on our website, feather.co.uk, as is the thing I mentioned about paid versus organic. And there are lots of other resources. We don't sort of hide our knowledge away. Maybe we should. It's on the website, so you can visit, and I'll be milling around drinking a lemonade after this. A big thanks to Joe, and I will pass over. Thank you very much for participating. Thank you.